Praise God. Praise God. I have a real excitement in my spirit about this weekend. I really do. I feel God, as you were praying there, Stephen, I really identified with that thought that God had gathered us here. I really felt that. That God has gathered us here this weekend because he has something really important to say to us. Are all these sweets for me? Oh, no, okay. Okay, okay, sorry. Please open your Bibles. I want to speak, and I'm going to... There's something I was going to say at the end, but I'm going to say it at the beginning. And that is the title of this... of this inspirational talk, message, sermon, whatever you want to call it. But towards the end of last year and at the beginning of this year, I don't often have had this experience, but I had this experience. I heard the voice of God, not in my ear. It wasn't an audible voice, but I heard the voice of the Lord clearly in my spirit saying, Brendan, tell them the time has come. Let down the nets again. Let down the nets again. And I want to talk about that and around that for a few minutes tonight. If you would go, please, to John 21. And folks from the Gospel Center, as you remarked and Ronnie had said the other day, that sometimes a message gets better when you hear it the second time or third time. Well, this might be about the third time that you're hearing this, so I hope it's getting better for you. But I'm hoping there are other folks here tonight who need to hear this. John 21 and verse 2 to verse 11. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. The moment you read this remarkable story, first thing that strikes you is how similar it is to another incident right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, also involving Simon Peter. A fruitless night of fishing, enter Jesus, miraculous catch in the morning. In Luke chapter 5, that's where you'll find the other incident, we read that it is the calling of Simon Peter. And he had fished all night and had caught nothing. And in the morning, Jesus asked if he could use his boat as a platform, you know, kind of mobile pulpit from which to preach. And when he'd finished, he told Peter, "Put out into the deep water and let the nets down again." Peter said, "We've worked hard all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word." Luke says, before they knew it, they had caught such a massive draft of fish that they needed to call a second boat, and both vessels were filled almost to the point of capsizing. Here in John 21, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, we have a strikingly similar incident right at the end of the Lord's ministry. Simon Peter had fished all night and caught nothing. This time, Jesus calls out to him from the shore and suggests that he let the net down on the other side of the boat. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Peter, I would have been a bit cheesed off. You know, when you're really good at something, it's what you do for a living, and you've always done it, you know what you're doing, and at this moment in time, you've done all that you know how to do, and it's just not working. And then some onlooker, amateur onlooker, comes along and suggests doing something daft. I mean, what difference does it make which side of the boat your net is on? If the fish are not there, they're not there. They're not hiding on the other side of the boat. I want you to think about this for a moment. Imagine yourself as a fish underneath the boat. Does it really matter which side you're on? You don't sort of say to your mates, "Let's all hide on the left-hand side, because this numpty is going to put the net on the other side." No. The disciples don't realize yet that it is Jesus, but they humbly take on board the suggestion. I wonder if Peter was having a deja vu moment. I wonder if memories were stirring. You know, there's something vaguely familiar about this. I seem to remember. Anyway, the next thing you know, the net is full to breaking. 153. Interesting, that, isn't it? They counted them. And they didn't just say, "Oh, it's about hundreds." You know about tall fishing stories, don't you? You ask a fisherman, "How big was that fish you caught?" It's like the old joke they used to tell. Do you remember, Keith, on the comedians with the one-armed fisherman? And they asked him, "How big was the fish you caught?" And he said, "Oh, it was about that big." 153 large fish. Such a catch that they can't even haul it into the boat. They tow it to shore. Over the centuries, there have been many fanciful and far-fetched interpretations placed on these stories. And I'm not just making this up. I've heard many of these and read most of them, if not all of them. People have seen mystical meanings in the details, that the number 153 was the number of languages known in the world at that time, that 153 was the number of different kinds of fish they had in the Sea of Galilee, that 153 was the number of nations known in the world at that time, and other things, the size of the fish. You see, you must take the gospel to adults, big people, not small people. The right side of the boat, that's starboard, right-handed, that's important. I've heard all these things. Deep water, change your location. It's very important where you fish. Nets breaking or nets holding strong. Check your nets. What is your method? Others being called to help. I've heard a message preached on that about unity. You see, you've got to call the other boats to come and help you get the catch in. But I want to keep it simple today. The most obvious, my friends, the most obvious yet most profound lesson to be learned from the miraculous catches is this. Father God is in the business of saving souls. Father God wants to save us. He wants to save people. Did you know that the first recorded words of Jesus are what he said to his earthly parents on the occasion of his bar mitzvah? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Those were his first recorded words. And his last recorded words were that we too needed to be about the Father's business. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. And you will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. What is that? If Jesus is not saying his last words, his first words, I must be about the Father's business. His last words, my friends, be about the Father's business. Our primary purpose is to be about the Father's business. And the Father's business is fishing for souls, bringing souls into his kingdom. That's our primary calling. People have all kinds of ideas about their particular calling, their special calling of this is my ministry, this is not my ministry, that's what I... But you know, there's one thing we have all been called to. Every single one of us, we've been called to be fishers of men. We've been called to bring souls into the love of Jesus, into the kingdom of God. Now, we may think that we've done all that we can do on this fishing business. That we've toiled all day and all night and caught nothing. We've tried every location, every method, but the nets are coming up empty. We've tried. I don't know how many of you here would remember. Do you remember the gym campaign in England? Jesus in me. Jesus in me, and Alpha, and how big Alpha became, and the four spiritual laws. Do you remember when we all had the four spiritual laws books? Some of us had hundreds of four spiritual laws books. And the EE program. How many people here remember the EE program? No, it's not a donkey. It's an evangelism explosion. And it had the diagnostic questions. You know, if you were to die tonight, you could say to someone, if you were to die, that's a great way to start a conversation, isn't it? You're trying to make a friend. You're trying to make a friend with somebody in the supermarket and you tap them on the shoulder and you say, excuse me, if you were to die tonight. Yeah. I'm not sure I want to try that one. The Turning, that's one of the latest ones. The Turning, Lighthouses of Prayer, Friendship Evangelism, Stadium Evangelism, Street Corner Evangelism, Door Knocking, Carol Singing and Wrapping Christmas Presents for People in Front of Sainsbury Supermarket. We've done it all. Workplace, marketplace, any place. And the nets have come up empty. We've done everything. We've hidden tracts. I don't know about you. I'm sure you could tell stories like I could as well. We've hidden tracts in supermarket packets under the lid. You know where you get a plastic lid that you can take it off and then it's still got a foil thing underneath. You put a little tract there and put the lid back on and put it back on the thing. You hope somebody finds it. Jesus loves you stickers on food parcels. and we've fed the hungry, and we've sheltered the homeless, and we've prayed for the police, and we've supported the council, and we've got bigger and better worship bands and big name speakers, and we get welcome packs. This is great. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of this. Get a nice welcome pack, put a pen in there with your church name and your Instagram account or whatever it is, and put in there a little notepad, and it's brilliant. It's all great stuff, and a sweet. When they were suggesting and doing this in the Gospel Center, I said, please make sure the suite does not have a crinkly paper on it. Because the person might just start crinkling it during the sermon. We've tried everything. My friends, the problem is not location. Because the fish don't know which side of the boat they're on. And the problem is not timing. Daytime, in case you didn't realize this, and I'm sure most of you do, but daytime is not the best time for commercial fishing. Not for commercial fishing. But both of these miraculous catches in Luke 5 and in John 21, both of them were at the worst possible time. Daytime, in the morning. Nor is the problem with expertise or method. Both times, these guys who knew what they were doing, they had fished all night and caught nothing. Zip, nada, not even a stickleback. Not even a white bait. Nothing. My friends, we can do all the right things in all the right places, at all the right times, and still come up empty-handed. Both times, the difference, nothing to do with location, timing, or method. The difference was the voice of Jesus. The difference was the voice of Jesus. Nevertheless, at thy word. It is about simple obedience, hearing the voice of God and responding, obeying. Yes, we must sow the gospel at every opportunity. The Bible says if we will sow, we will reap. If we sow, we will reap in due time. I know people apply that to finances. I apply it to everything. It's a principle. It's a principle that if we sow, we will reap. How can we expect to reap a harvest of souls if we've not sown? So yes, we must sow the gospel at every opportunity. And yes, it requires, listen carefully, it requires full mobilization. We know that. We've preached this. We know this. It requires the whole church taking the whole gospel to the whole world, not just leaving it to a professional class. You know, you hear people saying, oh yeah, evangelism, no, that's not my calling. My friends, if evangelism is not your calling, then you don't have any other calling. I'm sorry, that's the truth. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. Every single one of us, we need to be mobilized and released into the harvest field. Evangelism is not the preserve of an elite few, but a lifestyle for all. It should be something that is oozing out of us wherever we go. Anytime, any day, doesn't matter about the location, doesn't matter about the method. But I want to say this, above all, if there is anything to learn at all from the stories of the miraculous catches, it is that we need to hear the voice of God. In other words, we need to be a prophetic people. I don't mean prophetic people going around prophesying, thus saith the Lord, over people, but a prophetic people in the sense that we know, we see what Father is doing, and we go and join Him in what He's doing. That we hear what He's saying, and we give voice to what He's saying. Philip simply obeyed when the Spirit told him to go and stay near the Ethiopian's chariot. Didn't need much method for that. He might have needed to be fit, I don't know. but he simply obeyed. Peter simply obeyed when the Spirit led him to go to the house of Cornelius and enter the home of unclean Gentiles. Ananias simply obeyed when the Spirit told him to go to the house of his mortal enemy and pray for him, and pray for his sight to be restored. Paul changed plans and simply obeyed when the Spirit directed him to Macedonia. Now, all of the above, they all led to miraculous catches. And it wasn't because they had some great new method. It wasn't because they had some great, we found a great spot where if you stand, the fish will come up to you and jump in your net. No. They simply heard what the Spirit was saying. And they said, yes. And they did it. My friends, we may think that we have toiled all night and caught nothing, and so we have backed off. We have fallen for the scam, for the intimidation of the enemy. And I'll say more about that in the workshop tomorrow. But I'm convinced the Lord is saying that we are entering a new season here in the UK in 2020. And it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. On the contrary, it's going to be difficult. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. We're not going to find a fish jumping into our nets. But one thing that Peter did on both occasions was he responded to what the Lord said, "Nevertheless, at thy word," and he put out and he let down the nets again. He let down the nets again. I believe we are going to see a miraculous catch in the UK in this year. I've been feeling this and sensing this. I don't know how to express it. It's just like it's been fermenting in me in the last three or four months. When we stopped in the Gospel Center and we looked at it, we realized as we look back over the whole year that the whole year the Lord had been speaking to us and preparing us and encouraging us and trying to inspire us and get us up and ready and moving to put the nets down again. Now, I'm going to stop just for a moment. I've got a couple of more things I want to say, but I want to give you a couple of testimonies, because one of the things that we've been seeing, and I could give you, stand here and give you about a dozen, 15, 20 testimonies just from the last year or so, but of a new openness and the signs of this new move, I believe, that is coming of the miraculous catch that we're going to see in this country. But the first, I want to give you just two testimonies. And the first one is I've asked Marianne to come and give an amazing testimony that happened in her life in this last few months.
Thanks, Ben. For the last 8.5 years, I was working in a Jewish preschool. And I'm not Jewish, seriously not Jewish. And it was a miracle that I was headhunted and was offered the job there. And after working there 8 years and one term, I had decided to retire. Anyway, I'd been working with a lovely, lovely group of ladies over this time and just spent time being Jesus to them, really. And when it came to about November last year, my boss came to me and said, "Marianne, we really want to honor you before you go." And my boss said, "What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to bring a nativity scene into the preschool." And she said, "Do you have a nativity scene?" And I said, "Yes, I have a beautiful wooden nativity scene," which we'd actually only bought the year before. And she said, "Bring it in and display it. Please bring books and read them to the children and all this." And I said, "Are you sure?" And she said, yes. And I said, "What about the rabbi who comes every Friday and he sees baby Jesus lying in the manger?" So she said, "Don't worry about that. I'll sort the rabbi out." I go, "Okay, praise the Lord." And so for about almost a month, we had baby Jesus, the nativity scene, all in the preschool, and I had books there, And I would sit and read the story to the Jewish children and say, this is what the story of Jesus is about. This is God. Jesus was the gift of God. And the reason why Jesus came was he could forgive our sins. And all this, you know, and I just think, God, that's absolutely amazing. I've been able to do that. Anyway, after about a week of the nativity being there, my boss came to me and she said, Marianne, now I think we should go to visit a church. And I went, yeah, that's a good idea. Anyway, so she said, I said, well, there's the Gospel Center, but it's a bit far away and we don't have our Christmas decorations up yet. So she said, I'll go and look on the internet and see if there's a church closer to us where we are. So I said, great, you do that, Helen. So she goes and she looks on the computer and she says, oh, there's an Anglican church 2 blocks from us and they've got a Christmas experience there. Do you think we should go? I said, yes, definitely. We definitely need to go to that. So she said, okay, I'm booked for 8 adults and 15 of the Jewish children to go. But that's not your work day. Will you come? I said, oh, of course I'll come. So we went along to the local Anglican church. And it was a typical Anglican church with big pillars going down. And what they had done was brilliant. They had cordoned off the sides. And they'd made a complete experience going around the church building. So when the children arrived, they put little tabards on them, the little three-year-olds. And then they said, right, we're going back in time, and we're going to go to Bethlehem. And so the children went there, and the first person they met was Joseph, and the carpenter, and he was telling them how an angel came and told him about Mary. And then we went to see the shepherds, and we went through a passage of stars, and they were quoting like about Abraham, how they'd, you know, be the stars, and so many. And we went through, and then we went through, and we saw the wise ladies. Very inclusive. And then we went to Herod. And Herod had a scroll just like the Torah that the children are so familiar with. And he unrolled it just like the Torah. And it was fantastic. But when he came to be talking about killing the children, I was going, no, no. You know, play it down, play it down. And anyway, and then after that, we went through to where the census was being taken and the children could put their thumbprints on the paper. And then we went to see a live donkey, goats, sheep, chickens, and the children could actually stroke all the live animals. And that was absolutely fantastic in the Anglican church to have it there. And then the last one was to go and see Mary, this baby Jesus. And all the way through, the children had been listening. And when we got to Mary, wow, she whacked them over the head with the gospel. And I'm going there, yeah, yeah, tell them, boy, tell them. And I'm telling you, they were absolutely stunned by the end of it. But for me, it was just the most wonderful experience. Nothing that I had actually instigated, but they just wanted to do that. And you just say, praise God. It was amazing.
Wonderful. Praise God. What an opportunity those children have had to hear the gospel. All of them Jewish. And they've had an amazing opportunity. Just a few weeks ago, and just recently, Marion and I have joined a gym. And actually, Marianne is the one who's really pushing this because she can see that I need to try and get fit and lose some weight. So she figures that if I'm left to my own devices, I'd rather sit at home and read a book and or whatever. So anyway, so we're going. And so Marianne goes to swim and I go into the gym. So I went into the gym, this is just a few weeks ago. And then afterwards, it went into the sauna. They've got a sauna in there and I love sauna. So we went into the sauna and there was myself and one other guy in the sauna, and it's always a bit dodgy talking to people in the sauna and that kind of, but anyway, I always look for a way to say something to start the conversation. So I started a conversation with this guy who was there, and I always make a point of in this kind of scenario, as I say to them, so what do you do for a living? because 99 times out of 100, when they've told me, then they say, and what do you do? And that gives me a great opportunity to start sharing about. So that's exactly what I did with this chap. And I told him what I did, and he just ignored it. Didn't say anything. Just kind of carried on. The reason he was in the gym and doing stuff is because he plays cricket. He's a mad cricketer, and he was trying to get, he'd had a shoulder injury and all the rest of it. So he just carried on telling me about his shoulder injury. So anyway, a couple of weeks later, I'm back in the gym, and we had a lot on that morning. And I said, we go quite early in the morning. And I said to Marianne, I won't go into the sauna so we can get out on time. I won't go into the sauna. So got into the gym afterwards. As I was heading for the shower, and the sauna was to the other side, I heard in my spirit, I heard the Lord say, go into the sauna. And I stopped and I said, Lord, I told Marianne I wouldn't go into the sauna. You know, do I listen to you or my wife, Lord? I thought, no, Lord, I'll listen to you. I'll explain to Marianne later. So, but I heard it clearly. And so I changed direction, went into the sauna, and that guy was there again. And he was sitting right in the back corner. And I had just closed the door, and before I'd even sat down, his first words to me were, I was really hoping I would see you today. Those were his first words. He said, I was really hoping I would see you today. He said, because I wanted to ask you something. And to cut a long story short, what he said to me was that he's actually a Muslim. He is actually a Muslim, but a nominal Muslim. And his partner is a Christian, but a nominal Christian. And they wanted to get married. But neither the mosque would do it, nor the church, because of the thing here. So his next question to me was, would you get involved? Would you, as a church minister, would you be willing to bless our marriage? Well, I said, absolutely. I said, absolutely, of course. You say, how could you do that? Well, listen, God is bigger than all this kind of stuff. You know, because here are two people who want to get married and who are, so I said to him, listen, I said, so long as, I said, you know that where I'm coming, the angle I'll come from is I will happily bless, but I'll bless you in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. I said, because I believe that he was the one who invented this marriage thing. I said, and I love to see people getting married because they're going to get then God's blessing because it's God's idea. So he listened to the whole thing. He said, fine. He said, would you do it? And I said, yeah, I'll do it. So where it stands at the moment is I gave him my phone number, and I said, you drop me a call or a text or whatever, and nothing happened for about a week, but then I got a text from him. So now I've got to text him back and arrange a time to meet. And you know, it's just, you'll notice from both of these, from Marianne's testimony and from my testimony, there are so many others. We could tell you some amazing testimonies of what's been happening. But it's not that we can say there are so many souls who there. But it's the sowing. It's the sowing. It's the scattering of the seed. And we're beginning to see a responsiveness, whereas before the doors were always closed and the barriers were up. But we're beginning to see something different. And I know that even if I don't reap there, and if Marianne doesn't reap there, we will reap. We will reap. Because that's the promise of Scripture. So we're sowing, and we may reap somewhere else, and somebody else may reap for where we have sown. But it is going to happen. You know, my friends, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for every person on this planet. Everyone. First the Jews, said Paul to the Romans. Then the Gentiles. In other words, that's everybody. That's no one left out. There's nobody else in the planet other than Jews or Gentiles. I don't care what gender you think you are.
There are only Jews and Gentiles. Everyone. Everyone. The power of God. The gospel is the power of God for everyone to be saved. It's the power of God as much for the heterosexual to be saved as it is for the homosexual to be saved. It's the power of God for the salvation of the liar as much as it is for the person who's truthful and honest. He also needs to be saved. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of the adulterer as much as it is for the faithful spouse. Because Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, regardless of what it is you've done or you think you haven't done or you have done. We all are in need of God's love, redemption, saving grace. We're all in need of that. You know, it wasn't, if I could just say these couple of things and then I'll close. You don't have to make the seed grow. You only have to scatter it. You only have to scatter it. It wasn't Peter's responsibility to make the fish jump in the net. He only had to do what Jesus said. He only had to let the net down. I believe we're entering a season of harvest in the UK, and I'm happy to go on record and put my neck on the line for this. I believe we're entering a season in 2020. We're beginning a new chapter, a new season of harvest, and we're going to see miraculous catches of souls coming into the kingdom of God. And don't worry about your method. Don't worry about whether you're in the right spot or whether you've got the right location or the right this or the right that. Wherever you are, wherever you are, whenever you are, scatter. The word will do the rest. The word will do the rest. This is a new day. I really felt the Lord say in my spirit, you know, that so often it's so easy to write people off, isn't it? And I felt the Lord say in my spirit, Brendan, the ones you've written off, write them on. The ones you've written out, left out, put them in. Write them in. The ones you thought were a lost cause, they're a found cause. Don't write anyone off. Don't look at a person's color or creed or situation or whether they're rich or whether they're poor or whether they've got it all together or whether they're a gibbering wreck. It doesn't matter what they look like or who they are, what color they are, what creed, what race. It doesn't matter. They need Jesus. We need Jesus. And all we have to do, we don't have to leave it to professionals or an elite few and say, that's not my ministry. Whenever, wherever you are, let the net down. And I felt the Spirit of the Lord say in my spirit, let the net down again. The ones who didn't respond before, you're going to see a different reaction now. Because there's a new day. There's a new dawn. There's a new day. The ones you thought that you tried before, and they fled the net. Put the net down again. Put the net down again. It's time to let the nets down again. Shall we bow and pray? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you, rather than just praying for you, I'm going to ask you just for a few moments. Just for a few moments. In your heart, I want you to think of the ones that you have given up. I want you to think of the ones that you have written off. And it's not just you, my friends. I've done it as well. There are ones I don't talk to anymore about the gospel because I've kind of been rejected so many times. I think there's no point. But I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying in my spirit, ask them again. It's a new day. Let the nets down. Let the nets down again. And I want you to just for a few moments, maybe this is the weekend where you take up what Pam was telling us about and you put the one that you've been praying for, thinking for, that you've given up on,
put their name down on that sheet, on a scroll, and put it in that praying wall. Determine in your heart that when you go away from this weekend, you are going to be a sower. And you don't have to do the work, because you sow and the gospel will do the work. The word of God will do it. The ones, just think for a few seconds in your heart. And everyone that comes to your mind, say, Lord, bring to my mind the ones that I've written off. And determine in your heart right now to write them in again. And to let the net down again. Father, I pray. I pray for myself. And for every one of my brothers and sisters here today. Lord, would you open our eyes? Please, Holy Spirit, we're asking you and saying, open our eyes that we would see the opportunities, that we would be alert to the openings and the occasions and the opportunities, that we would hear what you're saying, the words that would be the key to open things up, to open things up, to open things up in people's lives. And Father, I thank you, Lord. I know this is the business you want every one of us involved in, regardless of whatever else we do. And I pray for an anointing on this work, on all the congregations involved in this work. Father, we see what you're doing even in this year. And we want to come on board with you and join what you're doing. Lord, we believe that you want to see souls saved far more than we do. You want it far more than us. Lord, may we catch some of your love and hunger for the lost. And begin to sow. And begin to fish. In Jesus' name. Amen.